Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. For 10 days, the Dakota Territory International Visitors Program is hosting a delegation of religious leaders as part of the U.S. State Department's International Visitor Leadership Program. The delegation is here through the rest of the week. One of the items on their agenda was to visit with people in Pine Ridge to share ideas and bring back information for their own Indigenous people and regions. Joining us first this morning from the delegation in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio, we have Yassine Dwyer, a Muslim chaplain at Ryerson University in Toronto, Ontario. Good morning, Mr. Dwyer. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Also with us, Pam Akarapisan, head of the Southeast Asian Studies and director of lifelong learning programs in the Office of International Affairs at Paiap University in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Ms. Akarapisan, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you very much for having me, too.
All right. Let's start about your involvement with this International Visitors Program. Tell us what some of the things that you were hoping to learn when you first got involved. Let's start with you, Yassine.
Well, I came on the IVLP program sponsored by the State Department in 2016, and I was part of a delegation of Canadian Muslim leaders and community members to learn a little bit more about America, learn a bit more about NGOs in America, and learn a bit more about how America works, learn a bit about governance, and also to connect with many people of goodwill in order to bring that goodwill back to Canada. We visited four cities: Washington, D.C., Riverside, California, Atlanta, Georgia, and Chicago, Illinois. But the most important part of the trip was really with connecting with a lot of people, connecting with a lot of Americans, and of course those who were a part of the delegation. And I can proudly say that many of those friendships have lasted until today.
And is that that was an interfaith delegation, or was that a Muslim delegation? Tell us how this sort of, you know, it breaks down.
It was primarily a Muslim delegation, and what brought us all together, or at least what motivated the invitation, was that we all did work amongst Muslim youth, and we all were involved in violence prevention within our community and looking for creative alternative ways for young people to find alternatives to violence, and finding creative faith-based ways to help young people become active citizens. And again, to find alternatives to violent disagreement.
Yeah, Pam, tell us a little bit about your involvement with this program and what you were hoping to discover.
I came here first time as IVLP like 15 years ago. And at that time, many Muslims back in Thailand. Not only Muslim, I mean, everyone seems to believe that we can't be practical Muslim or here in America. So at that time, I went back with lots of new knowledge, and it's an eye-opening for me that lots of Muslim organizations are very active. And so I started my own mosque tour after I came back from here. For this time, it's a bit different from last time because it's not in the area of that much interfaith. But this time we came here and learned about Indigenous people, Native American. And I learned a lot that injustice is everywhere, but it depends on your people. If you decide to stand up and fight, you can do well, by the people themselves. So that's one thing I will take back with me to Thailand and do the sustainability, maybe start project or talk about it in the university about a sustainability program and projects.
Pam, tell us about these mosque tours that you started and this idea of Ask a Muslim and sort of bringing forward just conversation and connections in your home country.
Yeah, that's right. Because in Thailand, it's a Buddhist country. And when I went back last time, I started reaching out to my friends first that, hey, do you want to? Because some of them haven't been into the masjid or in any mosque before for what reason, I don't know. But then I start saying that, would you guys like to hear a bit about the mosque or what we do in there or as a Muslim and stuff like that? Because back in Thailand, we just live and let's live. So, yeah, I got kind of like positive, reaction of feedback. So I started from my own friends and then words of mouth, they telling other people, and people started contact me for that. So I do regularly, I mean, on regular basis too. So I start with maybe half an hour telling people about Islam and the rules of it, especially things that people misunderstood about Islam. And then I walk them around, show them what they do in there, and some group pictures, and then more for questions and answer question like that.
And Pam, did you find a lot of people had no knowledge of Islam and the Muslims practicing, or were you finding a lot of wrong information? Could you tell, like, you know, somebody has been spreading misinformation and people were confused by it? What was your experience?
My experiences, I learned, I became to realize that among my Buddhist fellows, all they know is just like Muslim do not eat pork.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then so they came up and bombarding lots of questions like what they have heard or what they misunderstood, like many things like, how many wife your husband have or something like that. And then I have a chance to clear things up. And then, lately I expanded into my international groups from all over the world. especially from American groups that come to us. Some of them, few of them told me after the masjid tour that, wow, today we have learned something that we haven't heard before about Islam, or I don't think that's what I've heard back home or something like that. Yeah.
Sure. Yasin, do you have a similar experience where people have a lot of questions and you have to deal with that misinformation?
Well, of course. And as a Canadian, we have some very similar, you know, social dynamics related to general knowledge of Islam. But in Canada, we do celebrate our multiculturalism. So therefore, there is a platform to have a lot of discussion about our differences, about our multiple identities. However, you know, if you watch the news, you read the newspaper, you know, oftentimes the messages about the religion of Islam are often not about Islam, but rather they're about the political machinations of different Muslim-majority countries or Western countries' relationships to those Muslim-majority countries. So, of course, we are playing catch-up, but of course, we do our best share, and we do our best to maintain those platforms to be able to, you know, understand our common humanity, that all major religions, they share a ritual life, prayer, fasting, charity. They share a life of belief. Every religion has a particular belief system, and they also share a certain type of spirituality. So we're trying our best to find ways to help people understand that we do have these common dimensions that we call religious life, and we do our best to find platforms to connect with others and to learn, because there is a saying that, you know, the dog barks at the stranger. So we're doing our best to make sure that, you know, we get to know each other and become good neighbors and good friends.
And you're the first Muslim chaplain at Ryerson University. So a lot of that work is with young people coming in and having some of those questions. Do you find that this generation of Canadians is maybe more open than people in the past, more in tune with social media messages? What are you learning about young people in Canada now through your direct interaction with them?
Well, young people are much more informed. They have more knowledge, but knowledge does not necessarily translate into wisdom and insight. I think that's where elders come in, to bring that knowledge into context. So we have a lot of information. I think we're overloaded with information. It's one thing to read about Islam or to read about Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or whatever the case may be, but it's another thing to actually meet a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, or a Buddhist, or be in their sacred space, because then you get a very practical example of what their own religious life is all about. You know, I mean, true religion and true spirituality is not inherited through books or theology alone, but it's inherited through people. And so that's why it's so important for people to speak to one another. And I think for young people, because of, you know, their fluency with social media, they're able to do that much better. But of course, they need the guiding hand of elders with experience who can help guide that and provide context to that and make it meaningful, you know, not only today, but in the future.
Pam, how do you see the role of women in faith leadership evolving? Because this is something you have personal experience with, not always being surrounded by other women in the roles that you have taken on.
I think it's very important that women should get into, and then Thailand, it's not a problem, though, because in our community, we have women leadership, and then so we already have done a lot, but then I mean, back in my country, the reach out program is the barrier is more like language use, not the you are being women or men, because women back there are quite active, and we do our job already. I mean, the position, the title, and not really a discrimination for women to do things over there. So,
but there's a language barrier.
Yeah,
tell me
that's
more about
right.
that. Yeah,
because like if you ask that international groups coming in and they want to know more about you as a woman of Islam or more about Islam, then not many of us can can talk to the people who not speak Thai about what we feel, or they have to use the translator or something like that. And as you know, something lost in translation, the feeling, the emotion, the whatever, when you do the translation, it's not there anymore. So not many women, I mean, Muslim women or even Buddhist, we back in Thailand still have to work on the language, especially English, to be able to reach out more to other people.
Mm. Yasin, tell me a little bit about the trip to Pine Ridge and some of the connections that you made there, some of the insights that you have. Where do you want to begin with that?
Well, there are a lot of places to begin. Perhaps the first place is that I actually was born in Canada, specifically Manitoba, which is directly north of, South Dakota, North mm-hmm. Dakota, then you find yourself in Manitoba. And we have a large Native Canadian population. So I was very interested in visiting Pine Ridge, and I found a lot of similarities to the Native Canadian culture among the Lakota people. And of course, there were a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges, and a lot of grievances that we heard from many of the residents of Pine Ridge. But I was reminded of a saying by Booker T. Washington, we should never allow our grievances to overshadow our opportunities. And I heard that from many of the residents of Pine Ridge, that although there are a lot of grievances, historical grievances, there is hope. And we visited a Catholic church or a Catholic mission on the reserve, and I was very pleased to see that they were able to understand or appreciate Native American, specifically Lakota, spirituality and create a type of syncretism where they were able to bring a lot of different spiritual worldviews together to make something very, very unique and something that could be very useful for the residents of Pine Ridge. So I was very, very impressed with the spirit, especially we visited a community center that was doing wonderful work on the reservation, trying to find creative ways to empower the people. They spoke about the importance of spirituality, the importance of family, the importance of education, skill building, and the importance of not only hard work, but smart work. I was really impressed with all of that. So all in all, the visit was excellent, and I'm looking forward to perhaps visiting again in the near future.
And Yassine, you mentioned the Catholic Church and also the word grievances, and clearly there's a history of trauma from how the Catholic Church has intersected with Indigenous people in the past in this region. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts about that intergenerational trauma, how that might be passed down, and the way, is there a way forward?
Well, we saw evidence of this. You could visibly see the poverty that the residents of Pine Ridge were experiencing. But, the past is the source of trauma, but on a spiritual level, the past does not actually exist. And even the future is a God-willing future. All that we really have is the present. So as long as our present is connected to the past and connected to the future, but we live within it, within the present, then, you know, our tomorrow will be better. And I think I heard that message from a lot of the residents of Pine Ridge, that they understood that there was a very serious trauma. And yes, the Catholic Church and other church institutions contributed to that. But they recognized that they have today. They woke up this morning with their breath and with their consciousness, and they're able to build for a brighter future. So there was a lot of optimism, a lot of hope. But again, living in the present, solving the issues of the past, but living for a more prosperous future. I really felt this message coming from those whom we met at Pine Ridge. But of course, it's a work in progress.
What will you take home with you to Canada that you think is going to, you know, what kind of relationships or what kind of knowledge that you think is going to change or inform how you do what you do there?
Well, there's quite a bit, but there's one thing that does stand out. I learned on this trip, specifically to Pine Ridge, that there is no word in the Lakota language for goodbye. I found that very interesting. And on a spiritual level, I realize that, you know, when people meet and when people connect, there never really is a goodbye. There is simply an until next time. So I think that whenever we meet with people, especially people who have gone through trauma, people who are marginalized, and professionally as a chaplain, we speak with a lot of people who are dealing with a lot of challenges, trauma, anxiety. once we connect, there really is never a goodbye. That connection is always there. Mm-hmm. And we also have to provide a safe space for people to see each other again, to connect again, so that we can, you know, maintain these conversations, maintain these relationships, you know, until we see again.
Yassine Dwyer is a Muslim chaplain at Ryerson University in Toronto. Thanks for connecting with us today, Yassine. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
And Pam Akara-Pisin is head of Southeast Asian Studies and director of lifelong learning programs in the Office of International Affairs at Phayop University in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Thank you, Pam, for being here as well.
Thank you.